Sandra, thanks for that lovely reading, and Rob for your leading up to that point. Isn't it fantastic to have a shepherd as your shepherd? It's really good. Especially, you'd think you'd know what I was going to preach on this morning, wouldn't you? Let's pray just before we start. Lord, we're going to be speaking a lot about hearing your voice, and so we obviously want to hear your voice this morning. We pray that you'll be with us, and we pray that you would grant the desires of our heart to hear you speak to us all this morning. Amen. So the title of my talk this morning is My Sheep. Where is it coming up, Steve? Do I need to press it? My Sheep Hear My Voice is what I'm going to be speaking about. And that title could be both comforting and a bit disturbing at the same time. My sheep hear my voice. Says it kind of matter-of-factly, my sheep hear my voice. It's comforting because isn't it just wonderful that we can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus? But at the same time, that verse can be a bit disturbing because what if I'm not hearing God's voice? What if I'm not hearing it? Does that mean, will you fill in your own particular fear at that point if you think you're not hearing God's voice? So we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning looking at that statement, promise, warning even this morning. One of my abiding memories of being brought up in a small Bredon church in Scotland was the constant emphasis on hearing God's voice. Not a physical voice, I might add. I'm not aware of anyone I know that claims to have actually heard God's audible voice. It's more of a spiritual thing. And we were always encouraged to take notes during the sermon and reflect upon it later to see if God was trying to say anything to us. I mean, people took it really seriously that God would want to speak to you each and every time we met together. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to take notes and reflect upon them later. Because the fact is, by about 6 o'clock tonight, 95% of what I say here is gone if you haven't taken notes. You have a vague recollection of sheep, and that's about it. So if you want to take notes, feel free to take notes. A good thing to do. And also, another thing that the old brethren used to emphasize a lot was a strong emphasis on having a quiet time. Every day, preferably first thing in the morning, take time to pray and to read and to listen to God. Now, I really believe that despite the imperfections of the Brethren movement, that was one thing they definitely got right. Let's see if this works. Yeah. We expected to hear God's voice. It was not unusual for people to begin a sentence with the words, "I believe God has been saying to me." Those of you who are older might remember that. It's quite common. "I believe God has been saying to me." And when someone says that and you respect them, you tend to think, "Whoa, I'd better listen up here. If God has been speaking through this person, I want to know what it is." And I don't hear that so often anymore. And there are reasons why. A few months back, my grandson James turned 6. And so May, my wife and I mean, that's just 2 of us rather than 3 of us. May is my wife. And we decided he had enough toys. So we got him every child's dream, a subscription to the Junior National Geographic magazine. His eyes lit up. They did, actually. He loved it. And they came, they delivered it to our door because we wanted it in our house, so that when he came to us, we could read it to him and we could look at the animals, the Komodo dragons, and that was great. So first day it came, we sat down and him and I read through it and we did the quizzes and we had great fun. And when it finished, when he was going home, he said, "I want to take my magazine with me." And May said, "No, we're leaving it here. You're reading it here. No, I want to take it. I want to take it. So of course you give in. And he gets to take his magazine home. A week later he comes back and May said to him, have you been reading your magazine, James? And he said, no. And she said, why not? And he said, well, Gran, I just get easily distracted. I mean, he's 6-year-old. Where's he learn a word like distracted? From his parents, obviously. I'm just too easily distracted. And we just laugh because it's so true, isn't it? We get so easily distracted. And it's not just kids. I believe that we are all too easily preoccupied and distracted in the rush of this always busy, always connected world that we live in. There are so many choices. There are so many distractions. So many things to click and swipe and pinch, all demanding our time and our attention right now. I mean, how many times have you been in a conversation with someone and their phone beeps? What do? They reach for the phone rather than talk to you. It just says, you must deal with me now. And it's probably saying something like, we're warning you that your Amazon account has been, you know, hacked. That kind of get these all the time, don't know why. But they just demand your attention and be given it right away. Now, here's the key, and it's a sad truth. We seem to only hear what we want to hear. And we can so easily tune out the voice of God. Now, I've told many of this next illustration a couple of times. Forgive me if you're an old timer here. But there was a time a while ago, I was in my study preparing something. And I quite like to have some classical music on in the background without any words, so it's not distracting me. It just kind of helps my brain a little bit. So I'm listening to Bach on my CD player. Next thing, the door bursts open and in comes my wife, May, the same one as before. And she's got a vacuum cleaner going. And then she's screaming away in the background. And I couldn't hear a single note from Bach. My whole attention was taken up by the vacuum cleaner and the noise it was making. But here's the good news. Bach was still playing at exactly the same volume as before. That hadn't changed one bit. What had changed was where my attention was now directed. The vacuum cleaner won the day over Bach until May left the room, and then I was back to hearing Bach again. And it can be like that with hearing God's voice. God is always speaking. God is always trying to get our attention. One way or another, God persistently speaks to us. It's just that we don't always hear God's voice due to the persistent background noise in each of our lives. In order to hear God's voice clearly, we need to purposely shut out the distractions and quieten our hearts. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now that almost seems to be a requirement for hearing from God. It's not 100%, but it's almost a requirement. Be still and know that I am God. We need to take time out to listen for God's voice if we're really interested. And let me be quite clear here. By taking time out, I don't mean a mumbled prayer as we brush our teeth in the morning or brush our hair or whatever. I mean specific time set aside to hear God's voice without the distractions, every day if possible. Are you really tuned in to hearing God's voice? Two men were walking down a sidewalk in a busy New York area. One of them was a Native American Indian. And suddenly he stopped and he said, would you listen to that lovely sound of the cricket chirping in the middle of the city? And his mate looked at him and sort of went, I don't hear anything. He went, yeah, it's over there. He said, no, I don't hear it. So the friend said to him, How can you possibly hear a cricket in the middle of all this noise? Now the red Indian guy didn't answer him. He just put his hand in his pocket, took out a coin and flicked it onto the sidewalk. And the tinkling of the coin falling, about a dozen people in the vicinity turned around quickly and checked, where was the money? Where was the money? Because that's what they were tuned into. It was exactly the same noise, car horns going, roars of traffic, all the busy city noises, but they heard the money, they didn't hear the cricket. And that Indian guy walked over to where the big planter was, reached in and came out cradling this little cricket. And he said to his mate, you hear what you're listening for. He'd been brought up in nature. Hearing the crickets and so on was second nature to him, whereas the money was second nature to the people in the city. You hear what you are listening for. So if you're part of that bit disturbed camp that I spoke about earlier on, who are wondering why they're not hearing God's voice, then at least take some encouragement from this. It's not that God has stopped speaking to you or abandoned you. Okay, don't believe that for a minute. It is not that God has stopped speaking or has somehow abandoned you. The good news is that the resolution of that problem is 100% in your hands. It isn't really a spiritual decision. It's just a decision that I'm going to put aside time to listen for God. It's actually a kind of deliberate decision we're taking. I'm going to give God a chance to speak to me, because we hear what we want to hear. Okay? We hear what we care about. I remember when I used to go to the mother and toddlers groups every week in this very room, and there'd be a set of chairs at the back there in a kind of big circle, and the mums would be sitting in the chairs and the babies would be playing around here, the toddlers, and there was a lot of racket going on, and the mums got a chance to talk to each other. The odd dad was there as well, and the odd nursemaid or whatever. And every so often, there'd be a cry would go up from one of these kids, and they would... The cry would go up from one of these kids, and without even turning round, a mother would know it was her child. Absolutely incredible. There was just bedlam. And a cry would go up, that's my baby. And they'd turn it. And they were right. They were absolutely right. And it used to amaze me that a mum could always recognise her baby's cry. Mums, am I right? I'm getting lots of nods here. One mother saying, no, I never had that. Never had that. We can't all be good mothers, right? You're not a total failure, right? And some dads were good at it as well. Yeah. It's just that mothers were absolutely brilliant at it. So, if Jesus is saying, my sheep know my voice, mums get that. Mums understand that. Jesus was saying, when you spend time with me, you'll know my voice. The shepherd that Rob was talking about that could identify, did you say about 100 sheep?
Yeah.
Hundreds, just with minute differences. How did that happen? I mean, did he have stuff in his phone that no. He just looked at them over and over and over again, spent time with them. He knew them. He knew their different voices, and they knew his voice. Now, there are many voices. But Jesus said, my sheep know mine. They know my voice. And whether you're aware of it or not, we are all making choices every single day about who we listen to. Now, I'm going to say something now that might sound a bit strong, but I say it in love because I care for you. It's possible that you might not be hearing God's voice right now because you're actually living in a kind of hidden disobedience. And when I say hidden, I don't mean hidden from God. He knows. It's just hidden from the rest of us. We see in a Sunday and we think, yeah, you're all right. Actually, maybe I'm not all right. So only you know the answer to that one. And if you want to know God's will, then obviously you need to hear his voice. You can't know God's will just from talking to your mates somewhere. We've got to know God's will by hearing his voice. And here's a strong piece of advice for you. When you're trying to discern God's will for your life, then the words that you hear from others, the natural desires of your heart, should be weighed against the scriptures. That's what Jesus did. If you think God might be trying to tell you something, the Holy Spirit will never contradict his written word, the Bible. So if you think God's telling you something, check it, double check it in the scriptures. So how can we be sure that we are hearing God's voice and not just doing what suits us or our ambitions? Well, let's be honest, it isn't that easy to say with 100% conviction, I have heard God's voice. It isn't that easy. Don't be discouraged if you think this is quite difficult. It is quite difficult. And my experience is that it takes a bit of practice to be able to confidently say, I believe God is telling me this. It takes a bit of practice. And I'd suggest that there are four things that would be of enormous help when we're trying to discern God's will for us. And the four things are discipline, time, listening, and patience. Nothing surprising there, is it? Discipline, time, listening, and patience. Except these four things are often in short supply. Often in short supply. We've already said it, but we live in a truly busy age. Many, indeed far too many of us, who call themselves followers of Christ, do not live a disciplined life. They don't set aside the time to listen for his voice patiently. It's almost like we expect some miracle to happen, and without spending time with God, you'll still direct our lives. It doesn't work that way. To really hear from God, we must take time to listen. And it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, how do you get to know the person you marry eventually? Spend time with them. There's an idiotic program on television just now, which is, I don't even know the title of it.
Married
in 24 Hours, what was it called?
Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight.
Right?
Other people, pick your partner. And you turn up, having never seen them, and marry them. And guess what? It never works out. It never works out. Has it ever worked out, Esther?
Yeah, for Cam and Jules in Australia.
Oh, Cam and Jules in Australia. Right. So, if you're going to marry somebody, make it an Australian. Right? However, it's very rare that if we don't spend the time, we're going to hear God's voice. Why do some people not hear the voice of God? Well, apart from being too busy and not having the time to listen, there's a couple of reasons. Quite simply, there are so many false voices going around just now, it's easy to follow the wrong voice. Let me say one word that explains it all. COVID. Okay, y'all had your injections? Don't believe in injections. Bill Gates. Bill Gates is injecting us. Oh, did you know that? Bill Gates is injecting all of us with transistors. Check it out. Comes from an authoritative source. Many people believe it. There's a bunch that believe that if you buy a 5G phone, you will get coronavirus. It comes through the phone. Believe it. I mean, I'm scared with all this facts that have been around. There's people telling me that the earth is flat. Many, many people believe that earth is flat. Put your hand up if you believe the earth is flat, just so I can laugh. And so it goes on. There are people saying the craziest stuff, and other people saying, he knows what he's talking about, and following them. We've got to make sure that we are following the right voice. When I was a teenager, I lived in this little town called Stonehouse. And Stonehouse had a very famous park. It was one of the biggest parks in Scotland, had the longest slide in Scotland, which injured many people till they closed it down. And we were in this park, it was at the head of a big valley. And the valley was long, about maybe a couple of acres of land, and then up the other side. And down the bottom of the valley was a farm. It was a dairy farm. And every day the farmer would stand outside his barns and he would shout out, "Kaya, kaya, kaya!" And all the cattle would jerk up and walk in to get milked. It was just incredible. And we would watch this and think, that is brilliant. That guy can talk to cows. Right, we're going to try it. So we stood at our side of the valley. We waited till the cows had all been milked. Then they all trotted back out again, quite happy, ready to get some more grass. And we let them get halfway up the field. And then we all started shouting at the top of our voices, "Kaya, kaya, kaya!" And all the cows went, "Whoa, so soon, okay." And they all trotted back in. They were just, "This is brilliant." And the farmers out there going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." They didn't know what "whoa" meant, just "kaya, kaya." And they all barged past them, went in to get milked again. Of course they couldn't. They'd listened to a false voice. A voice that knew nothing about milking. But they still listened and trotted back in to get milked. Now, there's a little lesson in this for me. The time is coming, it says in Timothy, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That could have been written last week. Isn't that incredible? People wandering off, following the myth of their choice. And Jesus said, if you want to avoid that, learn to hear my voice. Listen to my voice. There's the truth. The second reason why people don't hear God's voice is this. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. And then he adds, my sheep hear my voice. So clearly, to hear his voice, we must belong to his flock. We must be part of his sheep. And if you're sitting here this morning thinking, I'm not sure, I don't remember ever joining that flock, then talk to me over coffee. We can discuss that further. But here's some great news. And it's the last verse that Sandra read to us. Once we become one of his sheep, Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So as we close, if Jesus is the good shepherd, and is he truly your shepherd, then why wouldn't you want to spend time with him? I mentioned discipline earlier on. And although we're not saved by being disciplined or by doing anything or by our ability to keep rules, that doesn't save us. I haven't actually met a man or woman of God who didn't live a disciplined life. Seriously. You don't become godly by accident. You don't become godly by watching 24 Hours of Marriage or whatever it is. Love Island. You know, it doesn't make you godly. You've got to spend time with the Father. When people spend time with God, here is an amazing fact. It becomes evident in their lives and even in their faces. Have you ever met somebody and thought, well, there's something about you I think is beautiful? It's normally holiness if they're in the church. I've met people who physically wouldn't have been classed as beauties and thought, you're beautiful. And it's the beauty of holiness. It's the beauty of spending time with God. And that takes discipline. It's not going to happen. I remember saying to an elder of mine one time, I was trying to rise early to pray and spend time with God, and I was struggling. So I went to this elder who I respect, and I said, would you pray for me to get out of my bed in the morning? And he said, you get one leg out and I'll pray for the other. Which I thought was really wise. I mean, a bit of discipline. I mean, he can pray and I'm going to float out of bed. Not going to happen. You get one leg out, I'll pray for the other. And let me make a deal with you. If you want to have a quiet time and you're struggling at the moment, you find a spot and sit down with your Bible and I'll pray that God will meet with you. How's that? You got a deal? It takes a bit of discipline. We need to put ourselves into neutral gear from time to time. We can't always be driving around 100 miles an hour. we need to slow down. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. If you want to hear God's voice, when you slow down, when you go into neutral, the good shepherd promises you, you will hear. Full stop. Amen.
Can we pray for us a bit?
Yep. Are we singing anything else? Or just,
yeah, I'm singing a bit.
Okay. Lord, we thank you that you were here this morning. You've been here since the start. We thank you for these fantastic illustrations that Jesus gave about sheep and shepherds and people trying to steal the sheep. Thank you for Rob and his first-hand experience in this area. And Lord, we just pray for every one of us here this morning. Lord, I would dare to believe that all of us want to hear your voice. I'd also believe that most of us struggle because we lack the discipline to sit down with you regularly and be patient in our listening. Lord, give us that discipline. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Billy. Shall we stand now just to finish with some worship?